Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
9:10, Jason Williams, district attorney, is in studio with us this morning, along with Aaron Greenstone, senior advisor with Bancroft Global Development. We're going to talk about artificial intelligence and crime being down in the city. First off, good morning to both of you, and welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I got to ask you about your mom, because you know I always do, and I pray for her every night. How's she doing?
She's doing really wonderful. In fact, she walked to her exercise class earlier this morning, wanted to let me know she's on her way out, and she's back at life, and I always appreciate you asking about her.
It's personal. We're New Orleans, and, you know, it's just the way we are here. I guess everywhere, really, when it comes to your mother and everything else. Let's talk about artificial intelligence and what it is that Aaron does and how his organization. Tell us the whole story, Jason, because I don't even know how to get into this.
So, I mean, a little bit of history on it. We're in the height of New Orleans, in the height of the crime surge. We needed every bit of help we could get. We didn't have enough police officers. We didn't have enough prosecutors. And I kept sort of banging that drum when I'd go before the city council, explaining to them that we needed more resources. But the other part of that is we needed more veteran, experienced police officers and veteran, experienced prosecutors who can handle those tough cases like sexual assaults and murder cases. So, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, it's something that highlights it. I'll be presenting an award to two lawyers in my office who have really just delivered big dividends for the people of the city. They were in law school.
Prosecutors.
They were in law school when I took office. We have a very, very young office. At a time when we don't have the woman power and manpower that we needed. So we were looking at every other tool out there, every other force multiplier out there. And it's on your desk right now. It's in my pocket right now, a cell phone. Mm-hmm. People put everything in these devices, where they go, who they're hanging out with, who they're mad at. Sometimes we've had homicide cases where there's threats that have been made or bragging that has occurred after. And so that's in where Mr. Greenstone steps in and Bancroft Global steps in.
And we're talking about, I'm trying to think, I see the acronym in front of me and I had it written down in 15 different places. Oh, open source intelligence. What is open source intelligence? Aaron, you want to jump in?
Sure. Open source intelligence is exactly what it sounds like. In other words, it's information that is out there that people put out there via social media or any other public means that can be used to further a prosecutorial case against someone, or frankly, to find what we would refer to as Brady material. In other words, exculpatory information.
I see what you're saying on the other side of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So this, and Jason will touch upon this even more, it's information that can both further a prosecution, but it can also possibly help people that have been wrongfully accused as well. It's information that is out there in the public realm. There is no hacking. There is no violation of privacy rights, nothing like that.
Yeah, I want to make that point because people sometimes hear this and they think that you're violating privacy or you're going where you shouldn't go. But this is stuff that's in the public domain. Right?
Yeah, this is all stuff that people have voluntarily put on the internet. We're not cracking into anyone's phones. We're not in anyone's backyards. This is not drones. This is anything that, and to break it down, whether Instagram is your jam or Facebook or TikTok or whatever you use as a device, if you say, I don't know this co-defendant, I have no idea who this man is that's charged with this murder with me, but yet we go to your Instagram account and there's pictures of you from the past 2 years. And in fact, you're wearing the exact same outfit in one of these pictures that the shooter was wearing in the video surveillance that we had.
I don't want you obviously to jeopardize any cases, but has this already been used to prosecute people?
Absolutely. And look, this is not this. We haven't created anything. Jefferson Parish uses this on a small scale now. Hiller Moore in East Baton Rouge. After we started, he's been asking about it, and they're using this technology as well. People expect this. I started talking to community groups about this before we started doing it to let people know what was going on and be fully transparent. And a couple folks were like, you're not doing this already. And yes, we do look at what's in the phones. But when you think about how much information is in a phone and how much of it is relevant and necessary and admissible in court, you only need a fraction of it. So the issue is having individuals who are former CIA, former NSA, who know how to extract that material and reduce it to the 10 pages that show that this person committed this homicide in the lower Ninth Ward on December the 23rd.
And that's where Aaron Greenstone comes in, the senior advisor with Bancroft Global Development. Tell me a little bit about your history and about the company.
Sure. I was.
Can you get a little bit closer to the microphone?
Sure, of course. I was a prosecutor for...
Or not, because you're a terrifying individual.
No,
it's
no,
up
no.
to you, Aaron.
No, thank you. But
no, we were kidding around before. Aaron's a nice man, but he's an imposing presence.
I was a prosecutor for Harry Connick Sr., God rest his soul. And then I went right after 9/11 up to Washington, D.C. and worked for the federal government for up until about a year and a half ago and change. I retired as a senior operations officer from the CIA. I've spent most of 20 years overseas, all of which was in the Middle East or war zones in places like East Africa. Can't go into all the details, obviously. I'm an Arabic speaker. I met the CEO of Bancroft Global, Mike Stock, in Mogadishu, Somalia, and I started working for him. It's a nonprofit right after I retired. Long story short, his organization focuses on what we refer to as capacity building in really hard hit places like Somalia, mm-hmm. Yemen, places I've lived, Afghanistan before the fall. And we were talking, and I'll defer to Jason on this, but there we figured out a way that we could help America domestically, not by all the means that we use obviously overseas, but in a very non-intrusive, constitutionally viable way. And I wanted to come home. I was kind of tired of living overseas and in the places where I was. I didn't want to run around Ukraine and these places anymore. And so I wanted to come home, and this was a perfect fit, we thought. And
you know,
chime in.
Aaron's still on mission. He served his country abroad. But when you look at what we were going through post-pandemic, all of our major cities were under siege by violent crime. And, you know, it's really tough for someone like Aaron and the folks he works with to see to do this type of work and to see this investment in other countries, and we don't see it in our own homes. And so we set up protocols that have the Constitution and municipal ordinances our guardrails to make sure that everything is above board. If a warrant is necessary, it goes before a judge and we get a warrant. But we have already solved cases in which murderers would have gone free if we were not using this technology. I think of Russell Riku, a man who was visiting New Orleans for a Saints game. He was murdered in front of the three-legged dog in the French Quarter. The three witnesses who saw it happen would not come to trial to testify. But we were able to use real-time crime cameras and Project NOLA cameras as well as license plate readers. And we were able to use that technology and link him to the person who fired those shots to post on Facebook and direct messages on Facebook between him and someone else to really bring him to justice. And frankly, that case would have never been, would not have been prosecuted successfully without this sort of technology.
Let me take a break here because I think it's a good stopping point. To be clear, nobody's spying on anybody. This is information that people have put out about themselves, right? On social
media.
That's
exactly right. We're not in no private accounts. It's all public.
And I think when we come back, we'll talk about stitching it all together, which is what I'm hearing, because you got a piece here, you got a piece there, you got a piece here. when it comes to witnesses, when it comes to perpetrators, whatever, you got to put it all together, and that's part of what Aaron does.
Exactly right. Okay. You nailed it.
All right, we'll pick it up when we come back, talking to Jason Williams, District Attorney, Aaron Greenstone, Senior Advisor with Bancroft Global Development. Crime is down in New Orleans, and there are reasons for it. We'll continue the discussion when we come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Sorry, 925 WWL, talking to Jason Williams and Aaron Greenstone with Bancroft Global Development. Jason Williams, of course, a district attorney. And we're talking about stitching the information together with open source intelligence to get convictions. And we'll get back to that in a second. But, Jason, we do have a little bit of breaking news that we wanted to cover, and maybe you can tell us what's going on.
Yeah, the individual who sort of rocked this community last year by setting his house on fire with his three young children inside, pled guilty as charged today in Section G before Judge Campbell. And he will be sentenced at a later date, but it's a mandatory minimum life sentence. He will never breathe free air again, as he should not, for what he's done. And I'm hopeful that the beginning of this very painful journey that this mom will be on forever, I'm hopeful this will help her just a little bit to not have to come back and forth to court to see him fight appeals and claim incompetence when he was very competent, when he did a very horrific and evil thing.
Were you ever seeking the death penalty in this case or not?
You know,
was that part of the negotiation?
You know, everything was on the table for something as horrible as that case was. He was trying to present himself at one point in time as if there were some
mental problems,
mental issues. Yeah. But you know, evil is not an abstract. You know, if you believe in God, you have to believe in the other thing as well.
This is the best way this could have turned out for everybody. If you look at the stats on capital punishment and what's involved with appeals and
automatic
costs
appeals
and everything else, this is the best way this could have turned out.
It's final. He will never breathe free air. He will be buried in Angola State Penitentiary, as he should. And this mother can try to stitch some sort of life back together.
And as horrible as this is, it does, in a way, I think, bring the community together sometimes. It's a shame that it takes something like this. But let's get back to the open source intelligence and stitching some of this together. I don't know if you want to take me through a hypothetical, Aaron, of how you would go about this. I know you don't want to give away any proprietary information. You certainly don't want the bad guys to know what it is that you're doing. But how do you even go about, say, once a crime is committed, stitching together cameras and license plate readers and this and that, and with the open source intelligence, things that are out there already? How do you put all this together? How do you even start?
I can give you a basic scenario whereby, for example, let's say...
Get a little bit closer to my computer.
Let's say there is an altercation between people and a person is killed. And let's call him the defendant, is charged with either murder or manslaughter, something to that effect. His claim would be typically some type of self-defense. All right. Now, let's say we get the case. He's arrested and we get the case. So, in other words, a judge has already found a semblance of probable cause and all those things. We then figure out from the police, ideally, or do our own investigation and figure out all of the defendant's Instagram handles, his Meta/Facebook names, et cetera, et cetera. We then dig into all of those accounts. And what we discover is 3 days, give or take, before this killing, this homicide, the defendant was pictured himself on his own account with, let's say, a weapon. It just so happens the same weapon that was ultimately used in the crime. And he is boasting about how he is going to take revenge on someone who, let's say, stole his girlfriend or stole his money or disrespected him. A lot of times what we find is that criminals, frankly, like terrorists, have large egos. And sometimes they'll, what we call, you know, roll their selectors. In other words, they'll drop their phones, they'll change their phone numbers because they think they're being smart. Well, that's part of the equation, but what they won't do is switch up their Instagram handles because they have egos. Mm-hmm. And they have X amount of followers on their Instagram or friends on their Meta. And so what they'll do is they may have a new phone number, but they'll maintain, and I don't want to give too much information or proverbial inside baseball on this, but they'll maintain or link their new phone number or accounts to their old ones. And then you know, colleagues of mine that I've brought in from NSA and FBI, retired folks that have done this for decades, chasing people like Osama bin Laden and others, this is what they do. Mm-hmm. It's a puzzle. And then they'll link everything up, and all of a sudden, we put together what I would refer to as something like a targeting package, what we used to call back in my old job, and present it to the DA or his folks and say, here's your defendant who's claiming self-defense, but here are pictures of him and actual statements that he made, videos, that he is talking about taking revenge with the gun that he ultimately used in this homicide. Well, you know, there's some great defense attorneys out there, but that's a tough one to present to any jury. And so the goal being just plead guilty.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to bring Jason in on this. The process of it is going back to this, and if you just tuned in, the guy that was charged with setting a house on fire and killing his three kids pled guilty as charged, first-degree murder, 3 counts. He'll stay in Angola for the rest of his life. He'll be, as Jason said, buried at Angola. You don't want to go to trial necessarily, right? I mean, if you can get a guy to plea or a woman to plead guilty, that's win-win for everybody.
Well, you look at the American criminal legal system. There are too many cases for there to be a trial in every situation. And most defendants do plead guilty to crimes, regardless of what jurisdiction they're in. But you need competent, clear evidence. And the sooner you can present that in court, the sooner you have guys basically taking their lick and owning up to what they've done. Now, we were doing this work, but it would take us months to go through volumes and volumes of data to get to the information we needed. Now we give it to Bancroft, and these guys give us a life sort of package that's central to the days in question in 2 weeks' time. And that's perfect, because this is not them going and finding a suspect. The NOPD is doing the work.
Yeah, take me through that process, if you would, Jason. Maybe take us back to that. So the crime's committed, the hypothetical crime that Aaron just alluded to. So the crime's committed, NOPD goes out there, then they do the report, they find a suspect, they turn it over to you.
They do all the traditional police work. They write the reports, they gather the forensic evidence, they gather the ballistics, they request the proper testing, the crime lab does their part. But as you know, in the city of New Orleans, with not enough police officers, the detectives get very quickly called to another scene, right? So that follow-up work of all of the camera footage that might be present at the blocks leading up into the incident, or the blocks that the individual went on after the fact. So now we've got name, we've got address, we've got pertinent information, we've got known associates, and that information goes to Bancroft. Person's already in court, mm-hmm. right? So this is not about developing probable cause. This is about actually hardening the case so that it's a stronger case when it gets in front of a judge, when the judge is setting bond, and a hardened case so when a jury gets it, we can prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt.
And that's a key point, and that goes to the admissibility of what you find, right? The fact that they've already been, somebody's nodding, yes?
Exactly. That's exactly right. So the defendant is there. Oftentimes, we'll have situations where we know there were 3 shooters, but the investigation was only able to uncover 1. Well, we look at their known associates from their social media, and we can find out who they were with the day of the crime. And then when you see the images of that person, you can match the size up or clothing description up with those pictures in that Instagram or that Facebook as well. And that can actually solve the complete crime and pull all the perpetrators off the street. So you don't have this other person out in the community threatening witnesses not to come to protect someone else.
And that was the next question I was going to ask you. I guess this is a way of not eliminating the need for witnesses, but overcoming the obstacle of witnesses not being willing to come forward.
Absolutely. In the Russell Riku case, the witnesses who did not want to travel back from Texas because they were scared of retaliation, they didn't have to testify, and this man was convicted, and he's going to be in jail for the rest of his life. In the case of Theodore Jones, there's a local celebrity by the moniker Young Greatness, killed at the Waffle House, set up by his quote-unquote friend. Mm-hmm. But this person recruited his young cousin, 2 juveniles, to actually do the shooting. We would have never gotten to the mastermind of the crime if it wasn't for using social media and real-time cameras and Ring doorbell footage to connect those dots. Because the person driving that car, we were able to get the license plate, but it was a male driving the car, but it was registered a female. But the person that it was registered to was a person in that Facebook post with the defendant in that case.
Aaron, when it comes to, you know, and I'll watch movies and you got to, what is the thing? You got to suspend your disbelief. And but I'll look at it and I'll say, well, this couldn't happen because of the cameras here, cameras there, et cetera. There's a lot of information out there that can be stitched together, I'm guessing, with doorbell cameras and everything else, right?
Absolutely. There.
I guess what I'm trying to say is if you're trying to get away with something, it's not as easy as it used to be.
It's not as easy as it used to be, and there are countries, I'll use London as England as an example, that, I mean, they are really, really strong with CCTV and very hard to commit a crime and get away with it in a place like that. There are some cities in the United States that are, quote, smart cities. It's becoming more and more difficult, and frankly, it's becoming writ large in the world more and more difficult to commit espionage because of data and everything is on camera.
Yeah, let me pick your brain on this for a second. I was in the UK maybe 10 years ago, and I was watching one of these crime programs, and they have real-time monitoring mm-hmm. where they saw a woman that was inebriated, headed for trouble, and they were able to dispatch a unit to prevent anything like that from happening. Would that be anything that you would like to see in this country? Or not?
Absolutely not. That's like preventative policing, preventative detention, things that the French and other countries have used. No, I am when it comes to civil liberties and freedom, I don't want cameras anywhere near me. I don't want drones over my house. And when you start going down that road, I've lived in police states, places like Egypt and others, and that is a very uncomfortable place to be. You have to find the fine line between security and safety and Big Brother. I certainly am very far away from wanting Big Brother, but I want security and stability. And so you got to find that midline, and that is the most difficult thing to do.
You know, when you talked about terrorism before and criminals and stitching all of this together, are there commonalities? Like, you know, I drew a little half-fast Venn diagram here where criminals are criminals, and I know the methods differ, but basically you're talking about the same kind of things when you're talking about human behavior and the things you can go back and find.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Yes, I will say it's pretty interesting. Like even like your typical, let's say, mid to low level terrorist that I've dealt with for many, many years, they're criminals at heart. And the, you know, and Jason made this point, I think in a article, maybe the Wall Street Journal, but the guys that are out there running around marauding and terrorizing citizens, civilians in our communities, they're terrorists.
You just said it, yeah.
I mean, at their hearts, they are committing a variety of different types of crimes. Terrorists feel the same way. They may be driven by different
motivations,
among other things. But at the end of the day, they're criminals. They're criminals.
We could take another break. When we come back, we can talk about, I think people know on the street when it comes to crime before certainly before I do, and even before law enforcement does, what's going on. And if word's getting around about this, where maybe they might be a little less inclined to do behavior that they would otherwise do?
Absolutely right. I've heard Newell say this a lot. You have to make the criminal element uncomfortable. They've gotten too comfortable. It's very important.
All right, we'll talk about that when we come back. Talking to Jason Williams, District Attorney Aaron Greenstone, Senior Advisor with the Bancroft Global Development, about open source intelligence and using things that are out there from different sources already in the public domain, stitching them together, build a case where somebody pleads and there's not even a trial. Because, first of all, and we'll pick up on that as well, Jason, that people sometimes have a bad view of plea agreements. But the system can't handle a trial for everybody. It just would break down.
Yeah, I mean, somebody pleads guilty to a life sentence, the job's done, and the victim is secure forever.
It's not a bad thing. I guess what I'm saying is some people, I think, have a bad view of plea bargaining, but that's the way the system works. That's just the way it's set.
That is the way the American the American justice system works.
All right, we'll be back in a flash, WWO. All right, 9:46, back with Jason Williams and Aaron Greenstone, Senior Advisor with the Bancroft Global Development, talking about the successes of open source intelligence, things that are already out there and using cameras and doorbell cameras, social media, et cetera. And that's what Bancroft does to stitch together a tight case. And sometimes the criminals realize that the odds are against them and they plead guilty, or it tightens the case in getting a verdict against them. Jason, I want to get back to this guy that pleaded guilty for three counts first-degree murder. This is not over yet, though, because there was an accomplice to this.
Absolutely right. And speaking with the grandmother of these children, it became really clear, speaking with a number of other witnesses, that his girlfriend aided and abetted him in this crime. And it was important for us to go after her as well. And we're prosecuting her. One of the things we're seeing, whether it's carjacking cases, murder cases, there are sometimes friends and family members who are supporting this bad behavior and criminality. And when that rises to a crime, we have to go after it so that people understand you're not, that's not being a good friend, that's not being a good loved one, that's committing a crime.
But in this case, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it would seem to me if she's being charged, what she's charged with?
Accessory after the fact.
So she knew that he was setting the house on fire with the kids?
Well, she knew what he had done, and she helped him helped him flee the scene and try to make good an escape.
Does she have children herself?
She does.
Wow.
It's horrific.
Wow.
On every level.
That is just beyond belief. Let me get back to, you were talking about law school graduates, I think that, what did you say, are now prosecutors from the time that you...
Yeah, this Friday, I'm going to be giving one of the first Champions of Justice Awards to people on my team who have just done amazing work. And there's two individuals who have just really just been delivering for the people of this community. These guys were in law school when I took office. Just so you understand how young our team is, we have a team of very young, very dedicated, hungry, and nimble lawyers who are always focused on doing it right and being fair, but they're hitting it hard. And, you know, I want to give them every tool they need to prove their cases in court. That's why OSINT and these other tools are necessary. These folks are young. They come from a different age and time than I did. When I first started practicing law, a murder file might be the size of one expandable folder. Now it's two seafood boxes mm-hmm. of documents, not including the electronics that also go along with it. So the size of cases, the size of our lives, the amount of information we're carrying around in our pockets and our phones, it's changed everything. Body-worn camera footage. If five officers arrive at a scene, there's more than five cameras that are going to be necessary. The cameras in the cars, all that has to be viewed and turned over to the defense.
What kind of time frame are you looking at from graduating law school of really being a competent litigator, let alone seasoned or brilliant?
I tell you what, years ago, it was a few years. And now we're trying to tighten that up and shorten it to a few months. This Friday, Mr. Greenstone and some veteran FBI folks will be conducting a training with my lawyers to help them with the voir dire process. These individuals are the same folks that are from that division of, I don't know if you saw the Netflix show Mindhunter, the profiling, using those international best practices in court at Tulane and brought to help pick jurors so that we can present cases.
I had a conversation with Sharice Gibson. She did a story on, I don't have it in front of me right now, but he has a project to try to get people involved with jury duty.
The Juror Project with Will Snowden. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
How much of a challenge is it to get jurors down at?
It's a huge problem. A lot of folks don't respond to those juror subpoenas.
What is the result of that? Do you get an attachment anymore? What do they do?
No. In fact, there's no criminal penalties. Actually, I'll probably end up talking to you a little bit next week about something that's come out with that. But the real issue is public service is not something that just applies to elected officials. Everyone has a responsibility, and showing up for a jury trial is that. My first assistant is trying a double attempted murder case, rape case in Section E right now, and that case has been labored because only 50 jurors showed up this past Tuesday. And so no other cases could be tried because they were already picking jurors, and we needed them all in Section E. So we've really got to figure out how to get more jury participation because the system will come to a screeching halt without them.
And maybe I shouldn't say this, but as it stands now, if you get a jury summons in New Orleans Parish and ignore it, there's no penalty, no nothing?
There's no criminal penalty. You're not going to go to jail, and you shouldn't go to jail.
Right.
But we've got to figure out ways to encourage voluntary participation.
Aaron, back to you with the information that you gather and stitch together. Does that make witnesses more willing to come forward because they know that there's a higher chance of conviction because the case is so tight? Or maybe that's a question for Jason.
It's more of a question for Jason.
Yeah, you know, one of the goals is to allow us to go forward. Corey Tassin just tried to was presenting a case earlier this week, which was a victimless case where the victim did not show up. That happens more and more frequently. And we're able to still present those cases when we have this other information, the defendant's statements on his social media, Ring doorbell footage showing where they were, or a license plate reader showing where their car was at a certain time. And so we want to keep doing those, especially with domestic violence cases as well. It also allows us to lay out the webs of criminality. Oftentimes, it's not just one offense. In a carjacking, sometimes they're linked to crimes throughout the state or across jurisdictions. But using OSINT, we can connect those cases. So they're not one case in Section A in January and another case in Section D at the end of the year. We're able to tie those things together and present a full package to a jury.
I guess both you analyze data and trends for a living. Are you noticing that word is getting out on the street to what I said earlier, that it's harder to get away with something than it was before?
I think so. I think the numbers, when you look at the numbers on the crime numbers trending down in every category at a higher percentage in New Orleans than any other city in this country, I think the numbers speak for themselves. I don't think the criminal element is necessarily paying attention to my press conferences, but they are talking on the docks at Tulane and Broad about what's happening in court. And they're hearing about tough cases being successfully proven to jurors.
Yeah, I would think word of mouth. You know, they got me from my Facebook this, from my Instagram that, and so forth. But that being said, from what your experience, Aaron, with the ego that's involved, I don't see that changing, do you?
Not completely. I mean, they will adapt, and then we'll adapt. I mean, when I first started with the federal government, I mean, we did not have a lot of the, you know, iPhones, for example, weren't around. But as terrorists changed their modus operandi, so did we. And so it's just kind of it's a fluid environment.
Thank you both for coming in. I hope we talk to you again soon, all right?
Thank you, Tommy.
We just got word O.J. Simpson died, 76 years old, died of cancer. 9:54, we'll take a break, come back, WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.